We really wanted to be able to have a tool that would model what the economic opportunity of reducing mortality, either in wean to finish, grow finish, or breed to wean operations were. So that's kind of how we got started with this. And we didn't know of another tool. Certainly, you know, mortality shows up in the bottom line when you do a closeout, but it's kind of hard to look at a closeout and say, what if I change that mortality? And that's what we were trying to do here.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Digestrum Finish helps optimize feed efficiency, supporting healthy growth in finisher pigs. Enhance your profitability today. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish.
Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene in the swine industry.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Russ Yukin as my guest. Russ is an extension livestock specialist at Iowa State University. As a livestock specialist, he works to improve the profitability and vitality of Iowa's livestock industry. Welcome to our show, Russ.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk about the economics of mortality in swine production. But before we jump in, Russ, can you take a few minutes and introduce yourself to our audience, share your brief background with us?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. My name is Russ Yukin. I work for Iowa State University. I've worked in extension for 45 years. And the last 30 or so, I've been a livestock specialist, work with all kinds of different issues with livestock producers, both beef and swine. I kind of maybe focus a little bit more on the economics of different production issues than some livestock animal science specialists do. But again, kind of cover the whole range of issues that come before producers and the industry. So quite a few years doing that and certainly enjoy working with producers and getting to know what their needs are and trying to help them be better problem solvers and help them be more profitable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as a swine veterinarian, I'm maybe unfortunately understand the impacts that mortality can have on the bottom line. So I'm anxious to learn about your experiences. And really quick, what area of Iowa are you located in, or do you cover the whole state? How does do you have a region?
Yeah, I'm up in the north central area. Cover about 16 counties here, so it's I don't know how many square miles that is, but you know, it's I'm one of five specialists, so we kind of divide the state up between us geographically. So 16 to 20 counties each. So
yeah, well, that's a big area, but certainly in that area, I'm familiar with it, and lots of corn, soybeans, and pig barns. So
yeah, we have lots of all of those here in this area.
When it comes to raising healthy, strong swine, the environment makes all the difference. Pancopia provides better environmental conditions for swine so that they can grow faster and more efficiently. Grow smarter, grow stronger, and watch your profits soar. Pancopia, the future of swine care starts here. Visit pancopia.com today to learn more.
Absolutely. Well, Russ, get us started by just kind of go through the basics of walking us through the impacts of mortality on a swine operation, and you know what you look at in terms of how that impacts the economics of their bottom line.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I would start with just how we got started on this.
Sure.
About 6 years ago, there was a pig survivability project that started, and this is really a small part of that. Lee Schultz, who was a former economist, livestock extension economist at Iowa State, kind of took on that task. And we worked on this together, but we really wanted to be able to have a tool that would model what the economic opportunity of reducing mortality, either in wean to finish, grow finish, or breed to wean operations were. So that's kind of how we got started with this. And we didn't know of another tool. Certainly, you know, mortality shows up in the bottom line when you do a closeout, but it's kind of hard to look at a closeout and say, what if I change that mortality? And that's what we were trying to do here. So we kind of relied on a budgeting process and looked at a partial budget and looked at those things that would impact or would, from a mortality standpoint, what would be impacted on the economic side. It's pretty easy to recognize that on a grow finish or wean to finish operation, if you lose pigs, you're going to have less market hogs to sell. So obviously that's a big impact, but there's some other impacts as well. You know, if that pig dies, he's not eating. So that, you know, is kind of a cost savings, if you will. There's also impacts maybe on less manure production, you know, so you got less income from that side. Maybe your vet med costs might go down a little bit if you don't have as many pigs to treat, depending on what the causes of mortality are, obviously. But we tried to make this so it's a user-friendly tool that they can put in their own information and say, you know, I guess in a nutshell, if I could reduce mortality by 1 or 2%, what's that worth to me and how much could I spend to actually do that? Probably in most cases, I would say it's going to cost something to be able to reduce mortality. If we could just snap our fingers and say, we're going to reduce mortality, everybody would do that, right? But typically there's going to be a cost to that. So we were trying to come at it from the standpoint of what's that 1 or 2% mortality worth, and what could I spend to offset that or try to reduce that?
Great. So where would I access this? It's on a website, I'm assuming. And do you call it a model or you call it a...
It's a spreadsheet model, basically, is what it is. And there's a couple different places people can get to this. Probably the easiest one where everything links back to is on the Ag Decision Maker webpage. Ag Decision Maker is kind of the, main website for a lot of farm management publications from Iowa State. Again, Lee Schultz was working on this at the time, and that's where we decided to put that. So if you go to that website and there's a drop-down menu under livestock and cost and returns, and there's a couple fact sheets and a couple spreadsheets that you can find there that go over this. So again, something that they can use, a producer can use on their own, or anybody that's working with a producer can use to kind of look at those economic impacts.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ag Decision Maker and perhaps some Iowa State on a Google search, and it'll come up to that website and under livestock.
That's correct. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I'll definitely take a look at it. Actually, I was familiar with it. I attended the Swine Survivability Conference, and then they've had kind of several sessions after that, updates and different projects that led from that meeting. And so I have linked in to this particular model in the past, but we'll do so again and just take a look at it.
Lee was on that program. That must have been about four or five years ago now.
Yeah.
There's another one coming up this fall, but this model is what he was talking about. So.
Well, great. So in that model, let's talk about particular stages of production. So is there one stage of production that has a more significant financial impact?
Well, yeah, that's a good question because there's a lot of variables that go into it. But probably, you know, a significant impact on a breed-to-wean operation because you have two layers of mortality, right? You have sow mortality and then pre-wean mortality. And that can be the pre-wean mortality can be a pretty big impact on a breed-to-wean operation as well as the sow mortality. So we tried to kind of, I'll just talk about that for a second. But, you know, if you're looking at sow death loss, obviously one of the things that you think of first is not only does she die, but you're going to lose some production from that sow as well. And that kind of depends on when she dies in her cycle. If she dies after farrowing a litter of pigs and before she's bred, you can go ahead and replace that sow with a replacement gill. So you don't necessarily lose production in that case. But if she happens to die while in gestation, then you do lose that production. So we tried to differentiate, you know, when they die, you know, either before farrowing or after farrowing and before breeding. And that does make an impact on the, you know, pig flow that's coming out of that particular operation. You know, so you're probably familiar with some of the research that talks about when sows do die. A lot of them die right around farrowing time in a normal operation. So kind of knowing that information in your own operation is pretty important. But besides the production, you're going to lose the cull value of that sow, the ability to market a sow as a cull sow. You're going to have an increased cost of replacement gills coming in. All those types of things interact, and what the values of weaned pigs and the values of the cull sow and what the replacement gilt cost, all those things are going to impact, you know, what the economic impact actually is or the economic opportunity to be able to reduce that mortality. So again, having a tool where you can kind of play around and put those different costs or different prices in, different values in, and you can kind of look at that in your own operation. I think it's pretty valuable to producers. Probably not a lot of them have thought about it that way. Obviously, there's some things they got to know about their operation to be able to use it successfully. But I think it also points out the value of knowing those things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell me about an experience that you had with a producer where you worked with them and were able to identify some costs in their operation that improved their bottom line?
Well, yeah, certainly, producers are going to get or pay more attention when that death loss significantly spikes. But, you know, if we're kind of running along at, you know, kind of a steady state, if you will, and, you know, maybe 5-6% death loss on a wean to finish operation, just being able to point out what a 1% improvement in that death loss, what that could mean, I think opens producers' eyes. And sometimes it may be just trying to do a little better job at some of the normal things that we do every day, whether that's just spotting sick pigs earlier and getting them treated. Maybe it's, those types of things. And pointing that out when you're doing a site visit and being able to go back and have something to say, well, it would be worth this amount of money to you if we could, you know, reduce that even 1%. You know, not necessarily maybe it's not a catastrophic situation, but on a group of pigs where we lose a significant amount of pigs due to disease or something like that. But looking again at that kind of long-term lower death loss situation and being able to just improve it incrementally can be a pretty big factor for producers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, when there's not a catastrophic or a bad health situation and you know, there's a lot of mortality, but kind of just running at this steady state and then looking at, well, if you could even improve by 0.5% and your intervention was, you know, X, or maybe it's just doing something a little bit differently and it didn't cost you anymore, that can be pretty powerful to maybe motivate somebody to do something just a little bit different, whether it's a, like you said, treating or something like that.
Right. I did look at some updated numbers here, Tara, that put in kind of some current prices on wean pigs and market hog prices and feed cost, and make an assumption that the average pig's going to die at about 150 pounds in that operation. Impacts how much feed they've already ate, obviously, as far as when they die. And we've got that modeled in there. But it's about $1.60 per pig. Or if we're looking at a group of 2,400 pigs, that's a little over $3,700 on that group. So, again, it adds up, you know, and that's just a percent improvement in death loss is what that is trying to model.
Yeah, absolutely. So in your model, I haven't used it in a while, but you put in basically what the weight of the pigs are when they die, right? So let's say you have a late finishing disease outbreak, or you have, you know, something that occurs and those pigs are close to market. That's going to cost you a lot more than younger pigs typically, right?
It's kind of strange to say, but it's better if they're going to die, if they would die earlier before they ate a lot of feed. Obviously, that's less impactful. And those pigs that die late, just before they're ready for market, you know, again, those are the most costly, as you said. So, again, that does have an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the maybe hidden or less obvious costs associated with pig mortality that maybe I as a veterinarian or producers overlook?
Well, probably the things that you don't think about, if that, you know, one of the big reasons or not major reasons that a lot of people have contract operations on their farms is value of the manure. And if those pigs die, we're going to have less manure, so less nutrients for crop fertilization. So we do have that factored in there that when those pigs die, we're going to have a little less manure production. Not a huge thing, but certainly one of the parts to it that we need to look at it. The feed, there's less marketing cost if we don't have as many pigs to market. There's less marketing cost on a per pig basis. So we start adding all those things together, and there's some pluses, there's some minuses. And again, that's where a partial budget really comes into play. We can look at, from a revenue and cost standpoint, what changes when that pig dies. So that's what we're trying to do in the model.
So Russ, being out in the field for as many years as you've been, do you have one place that you would suggest producers prioritize their management efforts?
Yeah, it's going to vary from operation to operation. On the wean to finish side, I would say a lot of operations, biosecurity would be the first thing that comes to mind. That would be number one in my mind. The second thing would be being able to identify through records, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, what some of these costs actually are in their operation, and not try to use some average, because we know that operations vary in what their costs are. You know, there's some that are high cost and some that are low cost, and there's different reasons for that. But just trying to work with their own situation and knowing those costs on their own farms would be kind of number two that I would think of. Again, on the breed to wean side, we might know what sow death loss is. on a percentage basis. But again, knowing when those sows die is kind of critical as well, and having good records on what the cause of death loss is. We're not trying to deal with that in the model, but you know, knowing the cause of death loss obviously is something that's going to be fairly important in trying to reduce it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even the cost of replacing that female, right, with a gilt, just because those costs, you know, of course, if you're paying for the genetic fees, but there's a lot more to growing that animal and that, you know, the input cost of replacing her that maybe some producers don't have a good grasp on.
Yeah, I think that's right as well. You know, in our model, recognizing that, you know, we do have those costs, you know, producers will bring in replacement gilts at different stages. What we're really trying to look at on the cost there is a gilt that's ready to breed. In other words, she's got to be ready to go and slip into the schedule, if you will. And if, you know, you could probably got to have more gilts around to do that. So that it's going to increase the cost of that particular animal. So really kind of a separate enterprise, that gilt development side of things, and knowing what those costs are pretty important too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to jump back to the other suggestion that you had for producers and looking at their mortality, and that's biosecurity. Have you seen any changes in biosecurity over the last few years? And if so, you know, maybe what are we doing better in the industry in terms of biosecurity? And maybe that gives us a little momentum.
Yeah. And fortunately, at least here in the United States, we haven't had the foreign animal disease outbreaks. But you know, the concern is there, and that's certainly made awareness from producers more evident as we went through PED outbreaks and those sorts of things. That's, you know, became more evident to producers that they needed to increase biosecurity. The time in between those disease outbreaks, you know, we tend to maybe step back a little bit, but and not recognize or not be as cognizant as we should be on biosecurity issues. You know, just staying on top of it, and you know, having employees recognize the benefits of that and where potential breaks can be. And I think the thing we've tried to emphasize is kind of a layering of biosecurity, and that might be where we've been able to improve, not only changing boots, but, you know, having the benches in place, the Danish entry type systems and that sort of thing. We see more of those. Not everybody has them yet, but we see more of those, I think, in a lot of operations that we're in, that being able to kind of stop the tracking, if you will, tracking of disease into operations at several different layers outside the barn, once you get in the door, and then also when you're leaving the operation as well. So I think that's another thing that producers are recognizing, that, you know, if there's something in the barn, we don't want to track it out either. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I think I agree with you, just even some small steps and layering of, you know, what seems like sometimes inconvenient things, but also education of why that's important, and maybe some producers that implemented a few of those types of things that have had better production, you know, in the last year or two is also helpful. Again, just for some motivation to that it is worth the effort to do that. And I think using your economic model on mortality would be really helpful for kind of helping educate and understand that value and benefit.
The other thing that you were asking about, Tara, the one thing that on the breed-to-wean model, Dr. Rademacher, he's looked at worked with different operations on, you know, trying to treat sows early, you know, come up with a protocol for checking those sows, getting them up at feeding time, and actually identifying those sows that might be a little lame, and trying to get them treated earlier in time. And when he's looked at the effects of that and being able to reduce mortality in those operations, and then use that information to look at the economic impact. It's been pretty significant on operations as well, just from a little better stockmanship, I guess I'd call it, treating animals early, recognizing those small problems before they become big problems. It can make quite an economic impact on an operation.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Russ. At our American Association of Swine Veterinary meeting, there's been some of the research and some of those projects with producers that they've, you know, done some additional training and some additional focus, and they've shown how that can really impact that sow mortality and that longevity of some of those sows. So, thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's important. You know, kind of a time where we just said they don't seem to respond to treatment, and you know, there's nothing we can do. And I think that showed us that there is something we can do, but it's really going earlier, right? Really focusing on identifying those sows earlier, because we were just late, and that's why our treatment wasn't working as good. And maybe it's not always just something you can treat, but maybe it's something a fighting issue, or maybe there's something actually wrong in the pen with the water. You know, something like that, those things, it's just early identification and observation that a sow is not doing well.
Seeing when, if they're not eating and trying to figure out what's going on there, you know, just some of the little things to more observation, I guess, is what it amounts to.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking ahead, any innovations or strategies you think have some promise in reducing mortality-related economic losses?
Well, that's a good question. There's always efforts to do that. And again, you know, if I guess this is, I should credit Lee for this. He says probably, you know, zero mortality is probably not where we're trying to get to. It'd be nice, obviously, to have that, but it's probably not economically feasible. You know, it is a biological operation. You're probably going to have some death loss in there. And you know, if you tried to eliminate it all, the cost might be pretty high for doing that as well. But, you know, I think, as we learn more about the early care and all those types of things and good stockmanship, I think that's probably where our biggest bang for the buck is right there on doing some of those things that we know are the things that we should be doing, just trying to do them a little better.
Yeah, I think there's no substitute for good husbandry and a good stock person. And, we've been talking a lot about kind of some robotics and some technologies that are digital, et cetera, camera based. But for certain things, I think nothing, at least that I've seen so far, is going to replace a good stockman. So us continuing to work on education and understanding of how that can make an impact, I guess, still gives you and I a job out there.
Right. One other thing, there is some work with other types of, predictive type of things on looking at disease and those sorts of things, looking at pig performance, and again, trying to get ahead of the curve, if you will, on treatments and recognizing when we might have problems. And, some of those types of efforts are ongoing too, and that certainly can help us in being able to ward off any kind of a disease issue that's going to increase mortality.
Well, we're concluding our time together today with Russ Yukon, a livestock specialist at Iowa State University. And we've been talking about the economics of mortality in swine production. At the Extension Specialist at Iowa State University website, they have a decision-making tool or a economic modeling tool that producers can get online and use to help them make the decision on whether to implement a change in their operation that'll affect mortality, kind of the cost benefit scenario of that. And so take a look at that when you get a chance. If you have questions or comments for either Russ or myself at our podcast show, just send us a comment or your message on your listening platform. And if you like our show, please give us a thumbs up or a like. But before we sign off, Russ, do you have any final thoughts or take homes to our listeners from today's conversation?
Yeah, I just encourage producers to take a look at that. Again, Ag Decision Maker, if they Google that, go to the livestock drop-down menu and they'll find it there under the cost and returns. So.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com.
Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com.
SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance.
In swine production, performance is everything. At Lupta, we know your success depends on measurable results. That's why our feed additives go beyond improving palatability. They're scientifically designed to enhance feed intake, support animal well-being, and drive optimal growth. From the weaning transition to periods of stress, our solutions deliver what matters most: resilient animals, improved performance, and a stronger bottom line. Backed by decades of expertise and a commitment to innovation, Lupta is redefining swine nutrition. Because when your herd thrives, so does your business. Lupta, create, connect, inspire. Visit lupta.com to learn more.
The hallmark of our SwineNet podcast show is to ask our guests just a few questions, just to get to know them a little bit better, maybe to lead us to look at some other opportunities out there that we weren't aware of in terms of resources. So, Russ, what's your favorite book or resource that you use in your area of expertise?
Yeah, I think, one of the things that I always, I just mentioned One Ag Decision Maker. That's pretty good for a lot of technical information. But just from the standpoint of being very inclusive and lots of different topics, it used to be called the Pork Industry Handbook, and that's gone through several different phases, I guess. But a lot of that type of information is still a pretty good resource for somebody like me that covers a wide range of topics, and that does have a lot of information in it. So again, they can find that in different places, but there's that kind of information that I usually rely on.
Yeah, that's a great one. That the Pork Industry Handbook has been around for as long as I've been in the swine industry, and it's a compilation really of a lot of research that, you know, would have started long, long ago, and just it gets added to things like, you know, feeder space, the amount of, you know, water flow, how many waters you need. It basically covers a huge range of things for raising pigs. And so I have actually recommended that to some young 4-H students that I've come in contact with that, you know, are starting a project, and say, you know, look this up. It actually is kind of like the production person's Bible, so to speak, of just the ongoing research in those areas that come up with some guidelines and recommendations. So that's a good one. So, Russ, what about a favorite book or resource outside of your area of expertise?
Yeah, I don't know if I got a favorite book, but one of the topics that I kind of like to either watch, or read about is, history, whether that's military history or some of the political history type of things, because, you know, a lot of times history repeats itself, it seems like, so you can learn a lot about what might be happening or is going on by looking back at history. So again, not a favorite book or one individual book, but those are kind of some favorite topics that I look at.
Yeah, absolutely. I like historical fiction, and where it basically teaches me some things that I certainly didn't learn, some facts and some really maybe what was going on in that generation or that era. So I also find at least historical fiction very interesting. So our last question is kind of a shout out there What's an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others?
You know, I'd have to say, you know, one thing that I've noticed over a period of years is, ability to listen and, listen to the people that you're trying to serve, understand where they're coming from. I think that's a really good attribute that a lot of people that I've worked with, if they may have a lot of knowledge and, lots of other attributes, but if they can really connect with the producer, with the producer or person that they're trying to work with, I think there makes them all that more successful.
Yeah, I think that's a good attribute in no matter what profession you're in, right? Listening to whether it's your customer or maybe it's your colleague or maybe it's your boss or, maybe it's the person that you serve. So, being a good listener and understanding.
Yeah, it's the other part of the communication that we sometimes forget about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to meet you. I'll check out that the tool again. And again, producers, it's a livestock decision-making tool for swine production and understanding the economics of mortality. So thanks again. This is Russ Yukin with Iowa State Extension. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.